Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with...
Mike Bryant. I am a weekend on-air talent at WFRE in Frederick.
Awesome. And of course, my wife and I live in Frederick as well, so nice talking to one Fredericktonian to another, although ironically, you and I met through the DC film critic scenes. Do you still do any film reviews?
I do. I do a show now on Twitch called The Movie Underground, and it's me and a friend of mine, and we talk movies, we do rankings and a bunch of stuff like that, but I still talk movies, so.
What was it before? The DC Film Life, I think you did with Charles Kirkland.
Yeah, I was doing that before.
Yep. All right, and then when I found out you were a country music fan working at WFRE, I thought that was super cool. So let's dive into it. I thought it'd be a great time to talk. There's been a lot of stuff in the news lately. You know, Lady Antebellum changed their name to Lady A. Dixie Chicks changed to The Chicks. Seems like country's moving in a more, you know, inclusive, open-minded direction. Do you have any thoughts on those, on that, just off the top here?
I mean, I've always enjoyed country music, and since I've gotten into it, I got my start at WMZQ in Rockville before I moved up to WFRE, and there's always seemed to be this wave. It started with Darius, and it started with him getting into it, and then a guy that I know, his name's Jimmy Allen, has kind of taken it to the next level. So you kind of knew that country was making the shift when it came to diversity, but with everything that's going on in the world, it's become more of a spotlight, and you can tell that country wanted to be more inclusive, and the open arms of how that scene just welcomed Darius and how much they love him, you knew that there was a place for it. You just didn't know how much, you know, that scene was really ready to accept that. So with Lady A changing their name and the Dixie Chicks, who were always political and always wanted to make sure that everybody was including, starting back when they with the George Bush thing, and now with them changing their name, and then of course doing this new song. I just looked at the video last night, and it's just mind blowing. So you know that there's always a place for it. You're just not sure how ready that scene is, prepared to really, you know, accept diversity when it comes to those things.
Absolutely. And real quick, before we go even, you know, any farther, you know, where did you actually grow up? Are you from around here?
I'm from Rockville. So I grew up in Rockville, went to Rockville High School. So I'm a local guy, not Frederick local, but I am local.
Gotcha. And how did you get into, like, did you listen to country way back then, or is it a more recent thing?
I listened to country. My dad was a huge Charlie Pride fan. And then he also liked Hank Williams and Hank Williams Jr. So I got it from my father. And so I've always kind of been on the fringes of country music. And then when I wanted to get into radio, it was either go a more of a pop route or go country. And I had a conversation with my wife, and she said, "You love country music. There's not a lot of diversity when it comes to country radio and country music, so why not go that way?" Because I kind of wanted to represent those kids who live in different spaces, who are surrounded by different spaces, know that country music is okay, and that it's awesome to enjoy it, even if you're a person of color. So that's really why I really made that move, because I wanted to have some representation that matched the industry that was emerging along with that radio vibe. So, you know, they could have someone to talk to that looked like them when they walked into a room or had an interview.
I absolutely love it. How did you actually get in at FRE then? So you said, just tracing your career a little here, sir. You know, you were at MZQ in Rockville where you were born and raised, but, when did you make the leap to FRE, and you know, what exactly is your role there?
So I was at WMZQ. I started down in Rockville for iHeart probably like almost 4 years ago, but I was in the promotions department, and I expressed interest about being in programming, and thanks to the PD there, Jeff Capucci, and Ty Bailey, who's on in the afternoons there, they allowed me to get an apprenticeship. So I was on WMZQ Sunday nights for like an hour for a year, or a little close to a year. And so and then Ty knew the former PD here at WFRE, Brian Moe, and she reached out to him and said, I have a guy here who's really interested, and he said, I have a weekend slot. And so that's kind of what happened, is that Brian Moe brought me in. We vibed very, very well, and then I've been at WFRE for over a year now. So amongst everything else that's going on with the virus and all that stuff like that, but I've been there for over a year, and it's been fun. I've had a great time. The community's great, and it's just, I'm having one of the best times of my life.
I absolutely love it. I want to go back and unpack a little bit of what you were saying about your dad's a huge Charlie Pride fan. We had treated him a year ago or so, and a lot of people consider him like the Jackie Robinson of country. But even before that, there was DeFord Bailey. There was, my wife's a country singer too. We have been talking about it. We were just talking this morning, and we watched that great Ken Burns documentary on history of country music. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but dude, it's so awesome. But the reason I bring it up is it goes back to how, even the roots of the genre itself were this sort of blending of instruments from all these different cultures from around the world. You had like the banjo from Africa, the mandolin from Italy, the fiddle from Ireland, and they all blended together for this uniquely American sound that was different. So talk about, I don't know how much you want to get into it, but, talk about how you think, you were saying that you wanted to join country so that, other made people of color thought they had someone that related to them on it. They weren't represented for a while, but talk about how, maybe there are these little hidden seeds of inclusion throughout the years that maybe most listeners weren't even aware of.
Yeah, I think because it started with, like my dad introduced me to Charlie Pride, I realized that there were people of color in this genre of music, because when you talk about that, and sometimes you get some weird looks, and you and I tell people that I'm in country music and that I'm on country radio, you get weird looks, because all they see in the current state is not a lot of diversity. So, which is why, with that, and there have been drops of certain people. Cowboy Troy is one of those guys that kind of popped up before Darius got his start, and he maybe wasn't taken as seriously, but he is a serious country singer. Like, he takes the genre very serious. He believes in that genre, and he wants to be taken as serious. But I really think what really kind of really turned the tide is the guy I mentioned before, and his name's Jimmy Allen. And I think, with his first number one hit, Best Shot, becoming one of the most one of the first number one hits off the debut album of a person of color, that says something. That means that people are starting to understand, people are starting to realize that there are people of color that are in this genre, and that there's going to be a spotlight on these people, on these talented people. So I think that it's always been there. I just think that sometimes it gets lost in the mix, because people generally think that country music is left for one sect of people, and that's just not true. And and people always go to Charlie Pride, but like I said, Cowboy Troy is one of those guys, mixed in that was popular at the time and just kind of fell by the wayside. But he's still there. He's still representing country music, and he's still wants to push this genre forward and understand that there are, people of color in this genre. So it's a banner that I'm proudly, willing to carry, and that, you put those spotlight on those artists that people don't seem to either overlook or don't realize that they're there. So yeah, I like it and I love it, and I want more people to understand that.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny you mentioned the word banner, because I feel like that's, there's this whole generation that, prior to our generation, let's say like probably our dad's generation, like you mentioned, you listened to Charlie Pride. there was this whole generation that grew up, you know, maybe I'm trying to think, like maybe like Alabama, like arguably the greatest country group ever, but they would have like Confederate flags in the background, or Leonard, you know, Leonard Skinner, you could say, did too with, you know, the country sort of Southern rock style. Or you had, I'm trying to think of other examples where, or even pop culture, you had like Dukes of Hazzard driving around the General Lee. There was like a pop culture thing there in the 70s that maybe like people like grew up seeing that and they say, oh, it's just Southern pride, what's waving at NASCAR and everything, not thinking about the hurt it was doing to, you know, people of color that were seeing that. And so I think the goal, at least what I'm hoping, and, you know, this is all out of love and trying to build bridges, is to, we got to somehow convince people that are like, oh, you're taking my heritage. No, like, you're just trying not to be a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, what would you say, you know, out of love, out of inclusivity, to maybe try to bring on someone like that? Because we're not trying to take away Hank Williams Jr. He's a great artist. But, like, there's that whole mentality of us versus them that I think sometimes got in there in, let's say, the 70s and 80s that I think we're starting to break out of now.
Yeah.
So what would you say, as like an olive branch, trying to bring them a bigger tent, I guess?
I really would say just, you know, pay attention to, like I said, guys like Jimmy Allen, a young kid named Willie Jones, who is currently on the uptick, and a guy like Breland, who's trying to change the genre but kind of stay true to that genre, because I think a lot of people believe that some of the people of color and these younger guys are trying to change it, trying to change that core value of it. And what I want to say is that we're not trying to change the core value. We're just trying to get you to look at it in a different way, change your perception a little bit. Understand that people like me love this music too, and appreciate Hank Williams Jr. and appreciate guys like Alan Jackson and Garth Brooks and all of that, and love that music too. So if people can just look past what their eyes see and use their hearts and their ears and go, man, this guy, he's really good. He understands how good country music is, and it doesn't matter what the color of their skin is. They love this genre, and I'm pretty good friends with Jimmy Allen, and I talk to him every now and then, and he really loves this music. He just loves it. He loves being in it. He loves that culture. He loves how the people around him have been so loving and inclusive. And I think if people can just use their ears and their hearts and not their eyes, they'll understand. They can see past whatever they think that holdup is. And that's really what I want to say to people, is that there can be so much more in this world. There can be so much, you know, love if you just listen to the music. If you listen to their music, you know that what they're going through is the same as what that person is going through, and there's some relatability, and I think the music is the key, in my opinion.
I think you're 100% right. You know, a struggling, you know, blue collar white man in Appalachia can relate to maybe a low income someone, a black person in the inner city. I think class. I think people have a lot more in common with class than they do skin color. You know, I feel like we don't need to get into the political candidates and all that stuff, but like, I feel like there's a lot more crossover between people than they really realize. And if, like you say, just listen with your heart, I think the lyrics will speak across all stripes. You mentioned Garth Brooks there. I remember he came out in the early 90s. I don't know if you remember, but it was on his Greatest Hits album, so maybe you've heard it. It's called We Shall Be Free. He did it in the early 90s after the Rodney King incident. And
yeah.
It was back, first of all, backed by a gospel choir, but the lyrics were downright ballsy to do back then. It was when we're free to love and choose, when we can all worship from our own different pews, you know, when there's only one race, it's only mankind, we shall be free. I mean, it was way ahead of its time. And I even remember he was supposed to perform as part of the, there was like a country music Super Bowl halftime that year with a bunch of artists, and he refused to go out unless the Super Bowl played his music video for that song, which was, you know, celebrating diversity. And there was some pushback, and I think the NFL claimed that, you know, they didn't have time for it, but he was like, no, yeah, I'm the biggest star in the world. I'm not coming out unless you play the video. And they played it.
Right.
But talk about how maybe gutsy it was to do a song like that and right after Rodney King.
It is very gutsy, but I think what he was going for is that, here, this man went through. There's a city that is just literally on fire, literally and figuratively on fire. And what we needed is someone to step up and go, "Hey, this is happening. This is real." And it's not just someone who is kind of mid-level. It's someone that is a superstar like Garth Brooks, because during that time, that 90s stretch for Garth, he was extremely popular, and he was, you know, he was like just hitting on all cylinders. Not that he doesn't hit on all cylinders, but he was at the very height of his popularity, and for someone like him to step into the spotlight and go, "Hey, this is happening, and people really need to pay attention to what's happening." And what happened to this man wasn't okay, it wasn't right, and I see it. And I think sometimes when things like that happen, I think people, I think the disadvantage and people of color feel like no one sees them. And at that moment, I think Garth Brooks stepping out into the spotlight and going, "I see you. I see that this happens. I see that this is real, and I'm going to talk about it, even if it loses me support, friends, or you know, people don't buy my albums. This is what I'm going to do. It's a choice." And you got to respect a guy like that who's had this long storied career, and at the height of his popularity, he decided that he was going to take on an issue that was so divisive. And you got to respect that guy. You can't not, you know, respect what he tried to do, and how much, especially on that platform of a Super Bowl. Artists dream of playing the Super Bowl. It's right up there with probably getting a Grammy, you know, all that stuff like that. And playing the Super Bowl was a big deal. And the fact that he refused, he held that place hostage until they played that video so people could see it, because he knew that that was a platform that millions and millions of people were going to watch. You have to respect that. And I do. And it's just amazing that he refused. He held that place hostage till he got his agenda across. It was such a great story. And it's so awesome that he did it.
Agree entirely. And the other song that, you know, needle drop on too many songs here, will be here.
Sure.
But the other one that came to mind was Brad Paisley. He said he was standing in Times Square when they announced that, you know, Barack Obama had just been elected as the nation's first black president. And he said he immediately put pen to paper and wrote, "Welcome to the Future." I want to say this probably came out in like 08, 09. And had a whole verse at the very end of, you know, I thought about him. He said he thought about his running back on his high school football team. They used to burn a cross in his front yard for asking out the homecoming queen. And he thought about him on election day. And everybody think the line is, "From a woman on a bus to a man with the dream. Wake up, Martin Luther. Welcome to the future." Those are those ideals we reach for. I know since then we've seen a lot of backslide, but, and, you know, move one step forward, two steps back. So it feels like a lot of times, but, any thoughts on Paisley's song and how country was acknowledging the first black president?
Yeah. I mean, that song, I've heard bits and pieces. I haven't heard the song entirely, and now I'll definitely go back and give it a full listen. Country music acknowledging the first black president is something that was a huge deal. I think having the first black president, period, is a huge deal. I think it changed the game. I think it realized that there are other people, there are people of color in this country who need someone that represents them in the same way. And then country music, you know, acknowledges it too. So there you go. It for somebody like me who listens to country music and feels like there isn't always enough representation, and then to have someone like Brad Paisley, you know, do a song like that and go, hey, I acknowledge it too. I think this is great too. You go, all right, man, this is cool. I can go with this. It doesn't feel like I'm listening to this music and there's no one acknowledging it. So across the board, I always enjoy artists, especially in country music, who take on that, who help pick up that banner that I talk about and that I want to carry, and help carry it across the line and help do those things and put the spotlight on and use their platform. And it always makes me smile. It always makes me feel good when other country artists that are not people of color who fight fiercely as much as a person of color in this genre does, just like, you know, the Chicks, and they fight fiercely because they want equality for all. So it really makes me happy. It really makes me feel like I'm in the right spot and that I'm on the right track of what I'm trying to do with my career as I move forward in radio and entertainment. So because that's always my thought process, is how I can progress myself and people of color in this genre that feels like it sometimes it can feel like it's underrepresented.
Awesome. Well, I think that's the, thank you for finding, you brought it full circle for me, because, you know, you're a radio guy, you know what you're doing. Thank you for wrapping it around for me. But yeah, man, I appreciate you carrying that banner, and keep spinning FRE, you know, keep spinning Darius Rucker and Kane Brown and Jimmy Allen, and, you know, like, just keep it going. And, you know, this, we must say, I mean, you mentioned the Dixie Chicks, the Chicks. You know, this conversation, obviously, because of the moment we're in, has been, you know, about race relations. But, you know, there's, inclusivity also includes women's rights. You know, Loretta Lynn singing, yes, about the pill, or gosh, we've LGBT. You had Casey Musgraves do "Follow Your Arrow," or Luke Bryan saying, you know, I believe you can love who you love. I believe most people are good. You know, I think Keith Urban sang about it too. I mean, there's so much inclusivity starting to happen in the genre, and I just appreciate you joining us and you being on the forefront of it here, you know, in Maryland.
Well, thank you for having me. I always enjoy having these conversations, simply because it means that we are progressing forward, that we can have this conversation about this genre and about country music and the people of color and all people included into it. So thank you for having me. I can't say that, like, this has probably been one of my highlights of the year so far. So I appreciate that.
Well, it's not hard to do. It's been a terrible year. But you know, you're right. Hopefully we're building some stuff out of the ashes here with this virus and, you know, the protests and everything. Hopefully, you know, it's kind of a chance to start fresh maybe. So thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.